Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It is 11 minutes past 10 o'clock, and our guest today in the studio is Mary Greibel. We're going to be talking about an upcoming suicide prevention seminar that's coming up. We're going to be talking about how it came about and some of Mary's personal experiences in this. So first, let's talk about the seminar coming up. When is it? Where is it? And what do people need to know?
The conference is December 8th at the Franklin Inn in the conference room. We're having a private breakfast in the morning for anybody that has experienced the loss of someone through suicide and has continued to go on living with that loss. After the private breakfast with the author, there will be an open conference for the public, for the survivors, for anybody seeking CEUs in the social working field.
And this is for people, no matter if it's just happened recently or years down the road, because this is a lifelong thing.
Correct. It's a lifelong
dealing with
thing.
Suicide in your life.
Yes.
And who is going to be speaking at the
event? Beth Cobain. She's a renowned speaker. She travels all over the world speaking on the topic of suicide. She's the cousin of Kurt Cobain, the lead singer for Nirvana, a rock band. He died by suicide. She's also lost several other members of her family by suicide. She is very up to date on all the latest facts about suicide. She's just a wonderful speaker.
And information, I would imagine, that when something like this happens, can be a godsend just to know you're not alone and get an idea of where things are and what to do.
Her book, Dying to Be Free, touched me really deeply. I have read probably 30 to 40 books on suicide, grief, child loss, and her book touched me in a way that no other book had ever touched me. And I shared it with several people who thanked me for it and said it helped them greatly, including people who lost their loved ones 40 and 50 years ago and have never been able to talk about that loss because of the stigma in society. I've ended up purchasing over 20 books, passing them out to my son's friends and other survivors, and the response has been wonderful. So I contacted the author by email, and she emailed me back immediately stating that she would love to come to our area and present a seminar on suicide. In doing so, I realized I didn't have a clue how to put on a conference, so I made some contacts, and everything has just been falling into place as if it's meant to be.
And do people need to pre-register, or do you show up that day so you have an idea of how many are coming, how many chairs need to be put out, any materials available and such?
No, we do need to pre-register. There will be information soon in the newspaper, and there's flyers throughout town, or they can call me, and I have the information. The survivors, the ones who've had a suicide loss in their life, are free for everything, the breakfast and the conference. All others, there will be a $35 fee, and that includes lunch. Nobody will be turned away, but they do need to pre-register, and that information is on the back of the flyers.
Are seminars and conferences like this a good support network, a good way for people to realize, you know, that I'm not alone in this, others have had to face this, and can share how they dealt with it, and you can tell how you've done with it, and maybe help yourself and others in the same process?
This seminar on suicide is going to open a lot of doors. It's going to break open a lot of taboos that have been in place for probably hundreds of years. I'm hoping that people who have kind of gone into a rabbit hole after the suicide of a loved one will come and let others be there to support them, get new information and understanding on the subject of suicide, and maybe get some comfort from the sharing that will happen there and from the learning experience of it.
Have you found that there's a bit of a stigma when it comes to suicide? If a child dies in a car accident, you know, people rally around. It's something I think they can understand happened, whereas suicide is something that just don't seem to be able to wrap their heads around it.
Suicide is a very, very difficult, complex subject. Nobody understands it. I least of all don't understand it right now. There is a lot of stigma out there. We can't tell you that our son or daughter or loved one died in an accident or of a disease, or in my case, I know he didn't die from alcohol or drug overdose. I have to look deeper than all those reasons. And many people feel that they know the reason that somebody died of suicide, when in actuality, it's probably many, many reasons, things that have built up probably throughout that person's lifetime. There's no single reason that most people die by suicide. And that's what we want. We want answers, and we're not able to find those answers. And the person that has those answers is gone. There's suicides left over from long, long ago, back when people that died by suicide weren't allowed to be buried in the cemetery. They weren't allowed to have a church funeral, where people weren't allowed to speak of the subject. I've met people in the last 2 years who lost loved ones to suicide 40, 50 years ago. They've now just, in meeting me and talking to me, opened up about the subject, and they're still sobbing. They're still deep hurt. And I just feel so bad for them, because our family has had an enormous amount of support. And there have been some things said that have been extremely hurtful, but for the most part, we've had a lot of support. And back many years ago, there was absolutely no support.
This was something that in the years past you didn't have counselors to go see, and people to talk to were professionals who knew how to say the right things and get people to start releasing feelings that are building up and building up and building up.
That's correct. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm still in therapy since my son's suicide. And the man that I see in the city is very trained in suicide, post-traumatic stress, and other issues that surround my son's suicide. And if I wasn't able to go and speak with him about those things deepest in my heart, I honestly don't think I would still be here, because it's so huge. The loss with suicide is enormous, and it encompasses every aspect of your being. My son is in my head all the time. My mind is constantly filled with him, and everything else that I do has to fit in around him. My heart also is full of my son, and you just can't keep all of that inside. And for the people who never had anyone to talk with or get counseling to, I honestly don't know how they're going on.
And it's a time when families try to come together. Is there a problem where you're focusing so much on this that other parts of your family's relationships seem to suffer a little bit?
Suicide is very, very hard on a family. We've always been a very close family, and mass absence affects us greatly.
Let's first let them know Matt Greibel was your son. We want to, you know, we're not ducking around that part of it.
No, we're not.
You showed me a picture of him. He was a terrific looking young man, and we're not trying to not say his name or anything. It's just
That's
hard
correct.
To come out.
Sometimes. I know. Now you have to excuse my tears. Our family feels Matt's absence all the time. Every waking moment. And there our marriage is fine. A lot of people have been second-guessing that. But so much grief under one roof is a tremendous pressure. It's very, very hard on a marriage, on a family life, having so much grief under one roof. We seem to be handling it quite well. But I know there's many families that have completely fallen apart after a suicide, and I'm just not going to allow that to happen in my family.
And this just doesn't affect the immediate family. This is family across the entire spectrum.
That's right. Matt's friends and people that knew him through his work and just in society have suffered greatly since my son's suicide. Many of them have sought counseling and help, some just now starting 2 years later. Not just Matt's suicide, but any suicide just has a far-reaching impact on so many people. Matt would have never wanted any of us to suffer the way we're suffering. That would have caused him so much pain, and that's another reason why I know that people that do complete suicide don't know how to stop the downward spiral that they seem to be in.
It's a situation where you don't get the answers, because if it's a car accident, a tire blew out, it was a slippery road, a deer hit the vehicle first, you have some, you know, something to hold on to and say, well, this is what happened. But this leaves so many questions unanswered.
It does. And as a parent, I think especially as a mom, there's so much guilt because you feel that you are so close to this child that you just love so much, and you didn't see that pain. And I've tried to go back thinking, oh, I saw this, I saw that, but I'm told I can't do that because my hindsight is so faulty now that I'm looking for those signs to have been there so that I can blame myself even more. It's just not an easy situation.
No. And do people make it even more difficult, more uncomfortable, because it's uncomfortable for people outside the immediate family to talk about it, to address it, when maybe you need a friendly ear and you don't want to dump on a loved one who's already feeling it, and it would be good to have somebody kind of outside that you can just vent or at least I've found in my life, just sometimes saying it out loud is the first step in starting to work forward. And if you don't have that, then, you know, if people are shying away or not asking, you know, does that make it more difficult?
I do speak of my son whenever anybody is willing to listen. We talk about him all the time in our family. My granddaughters miss him greatly. They speak of him. What hurts is when we're in gatherings, extended family gatherings, and that where if his name is mentioned, it's just dead silence. Nobody is comfortable speaking the name, and I don't know if they do that because they're worried about causing us hurt, but they need to understand we've already suffered the greatest hurt that one can suffer, and nothing can hurt us again. And we need to hear their names spoken. We need to hear the memories that are remembered. After a loved one dies, especially by suicide, even going to the store is an uncomfortable experience. And many people I've talked to, myself included, for a long time went way out of town to do any shopping that was necessary to be done. Because when you're in a grocery store and people see you, they either come and speak with you, and then you're both crying together, crying in the vegetable aisle together, or they see you and they turn and they go the other way. So I think in an attempt to not make other people uncomfortable, we try to protect everybody by shopping somewhere else or just not getting in their way, I guess.
can imagine it hurts when you see people you know, people who are friends or church members or whatever, and they do that turning away when you really would like them to reach out.
Right. All they need to do is just continue walking down the aisle and say hi. And that's not so much now, but that was in the beginning. Church is a hard place to be. And again, we have gotten a lot of support, but just being, crowds are very hard for us. We've started going to more things that we need to attend to, like friends' weddings and that. But church is very difficult. I didn't last through a lot of full masses for a long time, and most times you'd find me in the pew crying. I still can't sing in church, but my faith has only gotten stronger. My faith has not weakened at all. It has just gotten so much stronger since Matt died.
Is faith a comfort during this time, or does it kind of cause you to, you know, how can this happen, and you have your doubts, and then you come back to it?
My faith is very important. There's one emotion I have not experienced at all since Matt died, and that is anger. That surprises some people. I may be angry that this happened at all, but I'm not one that can say, why us, why me, because we're just normal people. So why not us? Why not me? I can't be angry at my son because he was in so much pain that my sorrow and my hurt overpower any anger that could possibly surface. I can't be angry at God because only God knows why this was allowed to happen. Only God knows my son's pain. I'm just not angry at anyone.
Does it take time to actually feel again? It seems to me there would be this numbness that might seem like it's never going to go away.
There's a huge numbness. I think I was in shock probably for over a year. I ended up in the hospital for a couple days, a week or so after Matt died, and after that I realized that I was going to have to try and get back on my feet for the rest of my family. But it's like I was tossing fate to the wind for quite some time. I really did think I wanted to go to heaven and to die because I couldn't stand the pain that was within me. I became very careless for a short time, never buckling my seatbelt, going for walks by myself with the dogs at midnight, turning up at the cemetery at midnight, just not taking the normal precautions and safety measures because I just didn't care. I was walking in front of cars, pulling out in front of semis, and until I don't know whether I got over that or what. Now I'm at the point where I know I have to continue living without my son because I have three other children that I love as much as him. They're here for me to continue pouring love on, to touch, to speak with, and to try and make this all better for them. So I'm trying my best to do what I need to do.
Is this hard on the other children? They look to their parents for, you know, and, you know, we're all loved. Then this happens and it seems like it's all focused and you know, it just seems like, you know, there'd be a tendency to try and overcompensate the other way. And you know, it seems like it's just a whole difficult situation all the way around for a family to deal with, going through everything else.
It's very difficult. And someone actually said to me, oh my gosh, you act like you love Matt more than your other children. That cut through me so badly because I love all my children as much as I love Matt. And I would feel the same way if one of them had died by any means. And I've made sure that they all know how much love is there for them. And they do know that. It is difficult, though, because I can't touch Matt anymore. I can't speak with him, and my focus is on Matt, but it's a focus that's not just on him. It's preserving his memory, all the good that he did in this world, and the relationship he had with his siblings and his nieces and his friends.
I'm going to take a pause for a minute and let you get a little composure, and we'll be back.
When you're looking for something important to your health and well-being like Blue Cross Blue Shield health insurance for yourself or your employees, are you willing to put your trust into someone on the other end of an 800 phone number? Or what about that click of a mouse? Are you willing to trust these people that you don't even know? Here's a much better idea. Contact one of your Huron County Farm Bureau insurance agents. They grew up in your neighborhood, you share the same zip codes, they probably even know your family. These are the people you should put your trust in. When you're insured through one of your Huron County Farm Bureau insurance agents, you can rest easy knowing that they'll be there today, tomorrow, and always to answer questions and make adjustments as families grow and your needs change. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer or Deb McBride in Elkton, Deb Croswick in Unionville, Casey Yan in Harbor Beach or Ubley, or Tim Fritz in Bad Axe.
We are back, and our guest today on the program is Mary Greibel. We are talking about the difficult subject of suicide. There is a seminar and program coming up. It's going to be held at the Franklin Inn next month, and we'll give details again on the time and how people can get all the information on this. And Mary has been kind enough to share some of the grief and tragedy in her own life in hopes that people find that they're not alone in this, and to help us who haven't dealt with this to know what to do at these times. Is there anything, you know, when this happens that is a help? And people bring food. Obviously, you mentioned you were kind of in a numb and in a fog at that time. Does that help because you don't have to think about food and stuff? It's there. I mean, people want to know what they can do to help, and they're not all counselors, and they don't all know what to do.
People just being there. We had a couple friends that hardly left our side. They were with us day and night after Matt died. I have a couple memories of a couple wonderful, wonderful people that were just there for us. We did have a lot of food brought in. Someone had a restaurant bring in a whole meal. I mean, come in and set up the table and everything for us. People, of course, there was flowers and plants, and mostly what we need is people in the early days to just be there, even if we don't show appreciation, their support and just knowing somebody's there to fall back on is extremely helpful. I guess I'm kind of past all that now, but I remember the support system that we did have, people reaching out with nice things. Like one woman at work brought me over bath oils, and someone else gave me something to use for relaxation purposes, not medication, it was candles and different things. But it was mostly just the support and them realizing that we're not going to function well for a very long time. I'm still very seldom ever cooking, which is something I did all the time. I seem to have lost my organizational skills. How I'm doing this conference, I don't know. I've never done something like this before, but it seems to be coming from a deep inner push I have inside where everything is just falling into place, but I'm not the competent person that I once thought I was, where I could multitask, and things just are not the same. I'm not the person I was before my son died, and I don't know if I like who I'm becoming, because I don't know her yet.
And that's something friends, family, all have to know. This is a life-changing event. People aren't going to be back to their old selves. It's always going to be a factor somewhere in the equation in how your relationships go.
They say with any death, especially of a child, The deepest grief lasts a year to two. When the death is by suicide, the deepest grief lasts 3 to 6 years, if not longer. And the second year is actually the hardest year. I think the whole first year you're in shock. And the second year you're coming out of that and reality is just slapping you in the face. And still, now that we've just recently passed the two-year mark, I still want my son to walk in that door. If his dog hears his name, his tail starts wagging. If we go take the dogs for a walk and say, let's go find Matt, instead of heading to the cemetery, they often head to Matt's shop. It's something that just doesn't go away. I miss my son desperately, and it's a pain that I honestly don't know what to do with. And I think people are making comments right now to me that, oh my gosh, you're so strong. I'm not comfortable with that because I'm not strong. I'm struggling deeply, and I'm doing this conference as a way to survive. I think it's a coping mechanism. I just have to keep busy, and this has just fallen in place.
I think people see courage to move forward. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's and other feelings. It's getting past them and doing what you have to do. And I think that's what they see in you.
Perhaps. As far as fear goes, I guess I have no fear anymore. I don't feel that there is anything left to fear, because one of the parents' worst fears is to lose a child to death. There's something wrong with that. They're supposed to bury us. We're not supposed to bury them. And experiencing that has taken away any fear that I've ever had over anything other than the fear of losing another loved one.
Is there a trap you can come into in being a little overprotective of surviving family members? Because they have to have a full life, yet you see what happens and, oh my gosh.
I don't think that I've become any more overprotective than what I've always been. I do worry about them, and I know now that the worst things can happen. I want them to live full, happy lives, and I guess that's why I'm fighting so hard to present this conference and get that information out, so that not only my children but all people have a support system when something so tragic happens.
And there is help out there. There's support groups. There's counseling. People shouldn't be afraid or ashamed to take it, because it's key to not getting past it, but at least learning to deal with the situation.
I'm not ashamed at all of how my son died. People have asked me that, and I think that's a strange question. I'm not ashamed that I have to have... that I have to go to counseling. And I do belong to two support groups. One is Compassionate Friends out of Carroll, which is for parents that have suffered a loss of a child from any means. And the other is Survivors of Suicide, a local group here in Bad Axe that has a very poor turnout. And I do believe that is due to the stigma of attending a support group for suicide. In fact, I never wanted to go to that group here locally initially, but somehow, with lots of encouragement from people in Bad Axe, I did go, and I found it to be a wonderful source of comfort. It's a safe place to share, and people do not leave the group gossiping about what they've heard. It's very personal and very private, and...
Sounds like almost a second family support group.
It is
right
a
there.
Second family.
we're getting close to the end of our time, and we put you through a lot today. Mm-hmm. I had you in tears here for a while. I felt bad about that and such. And why don't we go over the conference and the program that's coming up, because we'd like to let people know about it and get registered so that you get a good turnout, and people who can benefit from the knowledge and the information will be there.
Okay. Like we said, the program is called Dying to Be Free, and it's being presented by Beverly Cobain, an author and psychiatric nurse who is a cousin of Kurt Cobain and has survived 3 family suicides of her own. We're targeting the survivors of suicide in the area, which means anyone that's experienced a loss of a loved one through suicide. We're targeting human service providers, parents, educators, all community members, anybody that would like to increase their knowledge on this very, very difficult subject. All survivors are free, and that will include a private breakfast with the author from 7:45 a.m. to 8:45. All other attendees, the conference starts at 9:25 and will go through 3:45. It's at the conference room at the Franklin Inn, $35 charge if you're not a survivor. We do need to have pre-registration, whether you are attending as a survivor or just as an attendee. It's the registration form is on the back of the flyer, or you can contact Rhonda at 269-2962 or myself, Mary, at 269-6269. Also Kathy Harrison at 269-0373 for any questions. I'm working with Huron County Suicide Prevention Coalition, Huron Behavior Health, the Flashpoint Center, and I have to say the community has been overwhelming in their support. We've gotten the donations are rolling in. Some of them have come with some very heartfelt letters. I just hope a lot of people will attend.
I appreciate your efforts in setting up the conference, and I appreciate you taking time today, pouring your heart out for us. It's a subject that a lot of people shy away from, and they shouldn't, because the people who need the support are the people who have had to deal with it. And when you shy away, we're not helping as we should, as a family, as friends, as a community, if we do that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Our guest today on the program has been Mary Greibel, and I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll be touching base with CNN and all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.